Here we go. And the big game, Sunday morning. I hate having to say the big game. I just think that's so stupid, but it's the big game. Just after 8 o'clock, and you are listening to Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We're here every week at the exact same time in the Fox Sports Residential Bank Corp studio in Las Vegas. The we includes co-host Caleb Herring, the last UNLV quarterback to lead the Rebels to a bowl game. Caleb is part of the UNLV broadcast team and the co-host of the soon-to-be Marcus Arroyo show, along with Russ Langer on our sister station, ESPN The Leader. Also here is, and he's back from experience, Holy Matrimony.
Hey.
On the other side of the planet.
Hey.
He was on the other side of the planet.
Man.
In the heart of the Crohn's virus.
I was wondering why.
Whatever it's called, the crow virus.
Yeah, were you isolated over there? Or?
Corona?
Coronavirus. Yeah, I call it the Crohn's virus.
If you're
Corona is something you drink, man.
You're going to get infected by a major disease, at least know what it's called.
Well, I'm not going to get infected. I'm staying away.
Yeah,
I'm ready to put a surgical mask on or something.
Put your mask on.
Goes over there at the height of it. But he is back, and of course, Chris does serve as the locker room radio reporter for Vegas Golden Knights Radio.
I've kind of forgotten what that's like because
it's been a while.
They've been gone for so long.
They have been, and you know what? A lot of people were worried, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but a lot of people were worried about this long layoff and then coming back on the road. I thought it was good for them. I really did, especially the way they were playing going into this break. We'll talk about that in a minute. Also here, last but not least, he is the young man behind the tripod, the only and best intern we have.
The Wiz!
That is Spencer the Wiz Ostrowski.
You're amazing. I
have to do that
did
all
buy,
the time.
Did you buy Hooked on Phonics or something?
I do.
Sound it out.
It's Rosetta Stone.
Oh, man. Hooked on Phonics work for me.
This show is also streaming on the LV Sports Network and seen on Facebook Live. The page is called Out of Line. That's OUTTA. LINE, and you can watch on our personal Facebook pages as well. Your calls are welcome. The Fox Sports Residential Bank Corp studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
I'm The Wiz, and this is What's on Tap, sponsored by our title sponsor, Residential Bank Corp. Whether purchasing a new home or refinancing the home you already own, Residential Bank Corp is the company to turn to for all your home financing needs. Residential Bank Corp, funding America one neighborhood at a time. On tap, a little Golden Knights and maybe a little UNLV hoops. But come on, it's Super Bowl Sunday. Today's guest, a couple of former Raiders, Mike Jones, known for the tackle in Super Bowl 34 when he was a St. Louis Ram. Also former Raider Bob Golic, to talk about a Super Bowl party he's going to be at with some other former players. And we're giving away tickets to that party. And psychic Lori Schaefer, who's going to use her special talent to tell us who's going to win the big game. I'm The Wiz, and that's What's on Tap, brought to you by your title sponsor, Residential Bank Corp. If you're looking to buy a home or refinance the home you own, choose a company you can trust. Residential Bank Corp, funding America one neighborhood at a time.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Yeah, it is time for Nightcap. And Mags, as you said, they have been gone for a while. And before they left, you know, huge thing took place a little bit before the All-Star break, as we all know. And the thing is, a coaching change. I think a lot of people in the general public for sure were wickedly surprised by Gerard Gallant getting released and basically getting fired, not released. And they brought in Peter DeBoer, a guy that was coaching not too long ago, their number one rival, the San Jose Sharks. So that didn't go over real well. The crowd at first, I think, had the same type of response they did when they picked up Ryan Reeves initially. Like, what do we need this guy for? And first of all, Peter DeBoer is one of probably the best motivators in the National Hockey League, a really, really good coach. But, you know, it is what it is. That's professional sports, and you move on and you go forward. And, you know, DeBoer is now over 500, getting these two wins out of All-Star game after a long, long layoff. They go on the road. They win two games that, you know, I thought would be tough because of this layoff, but I also thought overall was probably the best thing for him to come out of this, go on the road, because 6-7, Chris, before they went to the All-Star break, and they were starting to get, it was looking pretty suspect. They go on the road for these last two games, and Marc-Andre Fleury gets his 59th career shutout. Pretty cool.
Well, yeah, and I think a lot of people probably had the same reaction that we did when Gallant was fired, and that was disgust. Like, I think people were pretty pissed off with the fact that he was fired and the way it went down. And, you know, as a member of the media, I remember sitting here 2 weeks ago saying that I didn't like the way that they did it. They do it in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Basically, you know what it was? It was basically the Ursay family moving the Baltimore Colts to Indianapolis because it was in the middle of the night, basically.
Well, they didn't move the team. It wasn't quite that drastic.
But no, yeah. But it was
shady.
Yes.
Yeah.
However, I also said that the fans will learn to appreciate Pete DeBoer because he is a really good coach, and he's now had a few weeks to view his roster. He's made some changes. We see Paul Stastny skating with the first line of Marchessault and Riley Smith. Chandler Stephenson continues to play well, and we saw Zach Whitecloud get a opportunity to play last night in Nashville, and the team ends up getting a shutout. So, you know, I mean, it's come to fruition that DeBoer is a good coach. I feel like the team will make the playoffs. I never doubted when Gallant was fired that they were going to miss the playoffs. But, you know, it sucks because I think we all like Gerard Gallant. But sometimes you just need to make a move. Now, I can sit here and bash the way they did it, but that doesn't change the fact that Pete DeBoer being brought in was done with the ultimate goal of this team winning the Stanley Cup. And Pete DeBoer gives that team an opportunity because he's been there twice with the New Jersey Devils, who were terrible the year that he took them to the Cup, and he took the Sharks there with Martin Jones as his goalie. So I think fans knew he was a good coach. I just don't. It was the initial aspect of being kicked in the gut when you wake up and you see the news that the first team coach in history was fired and replaced with a guy who,
since it is 2 years, they're both playoff seasons, well, and this season looks like it could be a playoff season as well. So surprising.
You factor in the rivalry that took place in the playoffs last year, the whole Gerard Gallant calling DeBoer a clown. So, you know, that added to it as well. But the reality is, Pete DeBoer, like I said, is a good coach, and this team, if you look at the way, the reality is they got points in a couple of those games following DeBoer being fired, right? They won the game in Ottawa. They took the Canadiens into overtime. They lost in the shootout, so they got points there. Now, after the All-Star break and the bye week, they've gotten 4 points in two games, which no matter how you slice it now, regardless of what happens in Florida, they're coming back 500 from the road trip, and now they've got 10 of 12 at home. So this is the stretch of the season where the Golden Knights prove that they're a playoff team. They prove that they are the best team in the division, as they should be. And I kind of feel like, look, they're going to come home. They're going to win a bunch of these games because they're winnable games. They're going to make the playoffs. The question I have is, where do you finish? Do you want to end up being the second seed, or do you want to win the division? Because honestly, depending on how things shake out in the other division, you can make the case that you probably don't want to be the first seed in the West. You probably want, or in the Pacific. You probably want to be that second seed where you're going to play a team that you should beat in this division, whether it be Calgary, Edmonton, Arizona, Vancouver. That's what you want. I don't think you want to play Winnipeg or Chicago or, God, the Blackhawks right there. Yeah. Who would have thought? But, you know, there's teams in the Central you don't want to play.
Yeah.
Dallas.
Always those teams, too, at the end of the year, they come up and they finish in the lower seed, and they're just dangerous.
Well, look at Colorado last year.
A cat in a corner.
Yeah, Colorado last year, right?
Colorado, and
it came down to the wire with them making the playoffs, and they end up knocking out Calgary in the first round, and you know, they probably should have knocked out San Jose, too.
No doubt about it. And it's fun when that happens, and usually, you know, when you look at it, it's usually a hot goaltender that does it. But the Knights, I think, are going to be fine. I think you guys will end up growing out there to embrace Peter DeBoer. He is a good coach. He is a good motivator. And, you know, the one thing we've been saying is that this team needs a lights-out guy in the blue line that's a two-way player, you know, big, strong player. But, you know, when you talk about that before the trading deadline, I'm sure it's something they're looking into. But you also have to take into account that when you look at the scoring leaders on the Golden Knights teams, Shea Theodore and Nate Schmidt are right there. Shea Theodore, I think, has one less point than William Karlsson.
Yeah, by the way,
I mean, that's a pretty good offensive production position for a defensive player.
By the way, I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit because I've already hit two bets that I've made, two prop bets on the Golden Knights, and they were both overs on goals. Riley Smith at 19.5 I thought was a steal. And I felt like Paul Stastny going over 14.5 was a pretty good. I didn't think Stastny would get it this early in the season, but you know, he had the most amount of points on the team in the month of January.
And changing the lines, I think changing.
Yeah,
I
feel like adding him to the first line, you allow him to play to his strengths.
Yep.
And what's going to be interesting to me is what happens when Cody Glass and William Karlsson come back. Because now you've created a situation where do you automatically just insert Karlsson back into the first line?
You know, it's going to depend. We got some time to take a look at that. A couple more games.
I don't know. We may see those guys back sooner rather than later. Look, Nick Waugh was sent back down to Chicago last night.
The soon-to-be now, future minor league franchise of the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, well, Chicago future someone else.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Soon-to-be not future franchise of the Vegas Golden Knights.
You know, I think you can make the case. And look, I like William Karlsson, but the reality is I don't really feel like he's produced at the level. And he'd probably be a guy to tell you that he hasn't produced at the level he wants to produce at. And I'm not sure you just throw him back in there.
I think that there'll be a lot of discussion about that. And the last thing I'll say about Karlsson is, you know, I said it a couple years ago, Mags, when he had his 43-goal season in the inaugural season of the Vegas Golden Knights, it was a crime he was left off the All-Star team because a guy like him may never have that kind of output again.
Here's the one thing, though. Pete DeBoer seems to be getting back to something that worked in the first season, and that was playing fast. That could actually hugely benefit William Karlsson.
Well, it should. That's his style of play.
That's his style of play. Yeah. And it seemed like the last two seasons, the Golden Knights had gotten away from that. And I kind of feel like maybe the front office overreacted a bit to the second line being the worst line in hockey as far as plus minus that first year. Because you had some damn good players. James Neal, David Perron. And they kind of overreacted and got a little more big and physical and defensive oriented with that second line. Now I feel like Pete DeBoer, if you look at some of the things that he's done in San Jose and the guys that he's been able to get some great seasons out of, it's going to be curious to see what he does with Cody Glass and William Karlsson when they come back.
I think he'll make good decisions. Like you said, Max, he's a good coach, and I think people here will stop looking at the bitterness of the fact that he was a San Jose Sharks coach, embrace him as a Golden Knights coach, and realize what this guy can do. Let's move on, brother. Let's do some blazing. Blazing is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Two happy hours every day, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And during football season, we are there every Monday night for Monday night football games. We also have Golden Knight watch parties. We'll host in the next one on February 23rd out at the Horizon in Henderson location. Good game. That's going to be against the Capitals. We'll be giving away lower bowl tickets to Vegas Golden Knights game. Definitely come out there and hang out with us at that time. Real quickly, guys, Blazin, I'll go first. I'll kick this off. I mean, it's hard to say Damian Lillard is not absolutely on fire. I don't even know if blazing is a hot enough word for this guy. He is on a streak that is seldom seen right now. In the last six games, he has made, he's done everything. 3 50-point games in his last six games. It is pretty amazing. He's averaged 48.8 points per game, 49 three-pointers in the last six games. He beat Steph Curry, who had the record at 46 in six games. It's just incredible. He is second with 50 points and 10 assists this season, joining James Harden, a Tiny Archibald, and Russell Westbrook as the only players with multiple 50 and 10 games in a season in NBA history. It's his fourth straight game with 35 points and 10 assists, which tied for the second longest streak in NBA history, trailing only Oscar Robertson, the Big O, who had five. He's one away from that. I mean, he had 23 points at the end of the first quarter. He had 39 points through three and ended up with 51 points and 12 assists. This guy, you know something, I can't believe I'm saying this, but you do have to put him in the conversation. Not that he'll win it, but you've got to put him in the conversation for league MVP in the NBA this year. He has played that well.
You know, it's crazy. He's played well for a few seasons, and not even a few, like maybe five, the last four or five seasons, he's played well, but it's been overshadowed by the other guards in the Western Conference. Like Russell Westbrook had a great season in there. Steph Curry, of course, has had historic seasons during Damian Lillard's career, where we don't talk about Portland much because, one, they're not winning much, and then, two, they always get bounced out by like the Warriors and get swept embarrassingly by the Pelicans or something like that happens where we don't appreciate Dame Lillard. But he's been an assassin and a killer at guard. But this year, without Curry playing, I think, and with Russ kind of taking a backseat to James Harden, I think we are putting more of a spotlight on his accolades. But this one, this streak, this six-game streak is ridiculous.
Yesterday, it was like throwing the ball in the ocean.
I mean, I watched him on Friday against the Lakers.
Oh, my God.
And it was, I mean, that I'm going to get that game, too, in a little bit. But watching him on Friday just destroy the Lakers, and he's getting to this zone where he just couldn't miss. And it's like no matter what you did, he wasn't going to miss. It's rare to see. He said it early. He's never been in a rhythm like this in his career, like ever.
He's so much fun to watch to drive the lane. I mean, he goes in against the
he's
trees.
He's explosive.
It doesn't matter who's in there. Yeah. He goes against the trees, and you see him lay the ball off the window. It's like you don't even see him. And then there's the ball laying off the window and going in the basket.
Right. So that was my first pick for Blazing, but you took it, so I'm glad you did. I'm glad you took it, you thief. But so I'm going to go with LeBron James. Not just because of what he's doing on the court, because he's also, I think, going to be in the mention for league MVP at the end of this season. He had his 11th triple-double of the season and a win over the Kings, which was pretty good. I mean, you know, a triple-double for LeBron seems like just what he should do. He's always close to a triple-double at least. But not just because of that, but because of his, his willingness to step up to the plate, being now a Laker. And, of course, with the passing of Kobe Bryant, there's been a lot of grief, emotions, sadness around the city of L.A. and around the Los Angeles Lakers organization. And I think it's very big, very bold and courageous of LeBron to step up and accept the passing of the torch. Kobe Bryant, in his own words, he and Anthony Davis both got some new ink. But Kobe Bryant, in his last tweet, and it's kind of weird to say that his last tweet, you know, looked back and I read it, and it, you know, basically is passing the torch. It tells LeBron to keep pushing the game forward, and it's kind of beautifully ironic, I guess, that LeBron just passed Kobe Bryant not too long ago for the
right beforehand.
I mean, like, and then the figurative and literal passing of the torch, and LeBron accepting that challenge now and putting the weight of that on his shoulders is really good. It's really big for me. It helps the city, I think, mourn and move past and have something to celebrate. So LeBron James is blazing for what he's done on the court and what he's embarking on off the court as well and putting the city on his back now.
I think it's a great blazon. And before I get Mags, I want to just say, you know, it's pretty amazing what this has done. I've got to say the only good thing, if there's any, and it's a satire, but the good thing is that I can't imagine there being a sadder moment in 2020 than we just experienced. So it's all got to be uphill from here because that was about as miserable and as sad of a day as I've had. And it has put a complete cloud over what I think is going to be a phenomenal Super Bowl. But still, I'm enjoying it, but I still haven't gotten this out of my gut yet. Like, I still want someone to come out and say it's a joke. I do. Yeah. A week later, almost, I still want them to say it's a joke. Mags, what do you got?
Well, I don't know how I top that, and I'm not going to try. So I'll keep it simple. I'm going to go with, actually, it's on television right now in the studio.
I watched it earlier.
From the Australian Open, Novak Djokovic, the Joker, won his 8th Australian Open title. He's 8-0 all time in the finals, his 17th major overall. And I don't think tennis quite gets the notoriety sometimes because really there's no good American men and there haven't been.
Since Sampras.
Well, yeah. I mean, basically in 20 years we have not had. I mean, what was his name?
Andy Roddick?
No. Yeah. Was he the guy who dated the pop singer?
Yeah, I think it was Andy Roddick.
Andy Roddick. Yeah. He was like the last like good American. I mean,
and I've never heard of that guy.
He's never won. I don't think he ever won a major.
I think he won one.
Maybe. He played in the finals a few times. Yeah. But Pete Sampras is the last guy. I really think of him and Andre Agassi
and Michael Chang.
Yeah.
And
Michael Chang never won anything either.
And Michael Chang won a major, though.
Yeah,
won. But
I agree. I mean,
we don't even get
John Daly won two majors. So
but the thing is, we don't even get men into like the quarterfinals anymore. That's how far the United States men have fallen in tennis. But so tennis doesn't quite get the the notoriety, because quite honestly, Americans suck at it right now on the men's side, and I don't see that changing. It's fine and healthy on the women's side.
Yeah.
But Djokovic, we are living in a time where arguably the three greatest.
At the same time, it's really neat to have.
It's almost like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and LeBron James were all playing in the NBA at the prime of their careers, because we are witnessing something that we may never see again. And I don't know when these guys are going to retire, because, I mean, Nadal, Federer, and Djokovic are all in their 30s, and they still dominate everybody.
Federer's
on the tour.
On the backside of his 30s.
He's close to 40.
Yeah, he's it is pretty cool. Listen, as Blazing brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 North Durango, Montecito Crossing Plaza. Hail Mary pass from Centennial Hills Hospital. Three happy hours every day. Actually, they only have two, but we'll add a third one. And we'll be right back after this. We've got Mike Jones coming up, Bob Golic, and I told you we have a special guest coming up a little later on that's going to predict the Super Bowl, and she's hot. We'll talk to you in a little bit.
Mike Jones, game-saving tackle.
All right, guys. Last play of the game.
Big man runs. Throws right side for Dyson. He dives for the end zone. He came up 1 yard short.
That tackle, when you saw it, your jaw was on the ground. You were in a heap of ooze and fandom, and you couldn't believe what you just saw.
Reaches to the goal line. No, he falls at the one.
Mike Jones saving St. Louis, to me, that's the stuff of backyard dreams. That is a beautiful tackle, and he saved the day. That's the kind of thing that I always dreamed about as a kid. Good for him.
Right. Super Sunday morning. Big game. Not too far away, man. Coming up. Kansas City Chiefs. San Francisco 49ers. 49ers 3-0 in Miami, if I'm not mistaken. Played Miami they've been in five Super Bowls, six Super Bowls, and three of them have been in Miami. And they play pretty well down there. I think this is the eighth Super Bowl now down in Miami.
You know what? It's funny when people say things like that.
Because it doesn't matter,
right? It means nothing.
Because you're talking about teams that are totally different teams.
These kids probably weren't even born the last time the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl.
If they were born, they're playing really well at 50 plus. Yeah,
exactly. So I mean, it's like
they got to be 50 years old.
That's like that. They always bring those kind of things.
No,
up.
But the Chiefs are 3-6 years old.
The Kansas, we're talking nobody about the Niners. The Chiefs have only played in two Super Bowls.
The Niners too. Either team. Like right now, nobody that plays on either of these teams.
Kaepernick played in the Super Bowl for the Niners. It wasn't that long ago.
Where was it at? Was it in Miami?
No.
So it wasn't in Miami.
They lost that Super Bowl.
But Kaepernick's not in the NFL anymore.
The last time the San Francisco 49ers played in Miami, they beat the Chargers. That was the Super Bowl. And I think they beat. I think one of the Super Bowls where they beat the Bengals was in Miami.
And this just sounds like a foreign language to me. Bengals? Super Bowl? Like what?
Oh, my God.
That doesn't even make sense to me right now.
They've been there since.
They've actually done twice.
They've been there two times. They lost to the 49ers.
I couldn't even fathom this. My goodness. The Bengals were in the Super Bowl.
You know something about the Bengals being in the Super Bowl? True story.
The Bengals have been to the Super Bowl, and the Lions have not.
In fact, the Lions haven't even sniffed the Super Bowl. You know that.
Bengals former coach, Sam Weish, passed away recently.
I like Sam Weish.
Yeah, he was a good coach.
He was a good coach. I did like Sam Weish. But, you know, overall, I'm looking at this game, and I've been saying Kansas City since they won the AFC Championship game. I said this team is resilient. There's no question that they have as good a comeback ability as anyone I've seen in the postseason in a while. I mean, 24 points down in the first quarter, and to be able to come back and win the game by 20, they show resiliency. They have a lot of special talent on that team. If not the best tight end in football, the second best. He might be going against the best tight end in football. I mean, you've got two of the greatest in the game playing right now against each other in the game. Some really dynamic players. Tyreek Hill, maybe one of the most unique athletes in the National Football League right now. That guy can do just about everything. And I think what we'll see San Francisco do if they're smart, and they are. They have been playing this. You put Richard Sherman put him, isolate him on Sammy Watkins, and you double team Tariq Hill. One guy underneath and one guy over the top. I don't know that that's going to shut him down, but what I think you're going to force San Francisco, or force Kansas City to do, if San Francisco, is to make them throw underneath. If San Francisco has any weakness on defense, it's their linebacking core. People want to say it's the secondary, but since they replaced Witherspoon, that secondary is really shown up. I know Sherman's old, but he's still a pretty good blanket cornerback. Well, and they're playing decently. They've got some good safeties. And, I mean, Bosa, rookie of the year. This guy is ridiculous,
here's
Caleb.
Here's the thing about what the Niners need to do to the Chiefs. They cannot do the same thing series for series. So they have to be masters of mixing up the defense. You can't just say we're going to double-team Tariq Hill all game. You can't just say we're going to have Richard Sherman locked up on somebody all game. You have to disguise and mix up your coverage, because regardless of how good Richard Sherman has been in his career, or how good anybody on that defensive side in the secondary has been, this plethora of weapons on this Kansas City offense with Andy Reid as a coordinator and Patrick Mahomes, who can make any throw from any angle as the quarterback, it's only a matter of time before whatever your scheme is stops working. And I think that's what you saw with like the Texans in the playoff, when they had a chance and they had them kind of scrambling a little bit, but then they kept doing the same thing. And they figured it out, and then KD barred the door. It's over, right? So I think what you have to do if you're the Niners is continue to mix it up, get pressure with four, rushing four, which they can do. I don't think you need to blitz much, but I think you need to be very very adamant about disguising coverages and changing it up. Because if they figure it out, if they get a beat on the fact that you got Sammy Watkins one-on-one with Richard Sherman, I know he's a great corner, but it's only going to last so long. He's not going to be able to go a full four quarters locked up man-to-man, and I don't think he should. And if you're going to say you're going to double-team Tyreek Hill, they will gladly decoy him and send two of your defenders off into no man's land chasing after Tyreek Hill while Travis Kelce works a one-on-one. Kelce,
but here,
yeah, that's just what I'm saying. There's too many weapons to give a scheme and try to say that this is what's going to beat them. It's because there's no one scheme that can beat them. You just have to pick the right scheme for the right situation against them.
And be ready to improvise as well.
And that's the thing, because the master improviser is on the other team. Yep. Patrick Mahomes, if you stop the design defense, stops the initial play, Patrick Mahomes has shown the ability to make the second and third play happen within that down. So that it's hard to bet against that. And this is like I talked about it before with some buddies of mine, that the good defensive line and the good defense that the Giants had beat Tom Brady in two Super Bowls with the Giants. And they were able to get pressure on him, rushing four, and he was unable to escape and create time for his playmakers to get open down the field. Tom Brady was a statue in the pocket, and everybody knows that. Patrick Mahomes is not a statue.
He can't be. He doesn't have an offensive line where
absolutely.
He can be a statue.
So he can extend the play and make things happen. And that's when most of the big plays for the Kansas City Chiefs happen. Those dagger plays where it's like, how did he do that? Third and 15, he scrambles around and throws a laser 30 yards down the field, and all of a sudden they got a 21-point streak going on. So that's the difference in this game. That's why I won't bet against the Chiefs. On paper, I would say the 49ers have a better team, but when it comes down to it, this is why you have special players, and Kansas City has the most special player in the NFL right now, and they have Patrick Mahomes, and I don't want to bet against the most special player in the league.
He is, well, I don't know if he's the most special. You look at Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, and he's pretty special, too.
I would say,
but Patrick Mahomes is more the complete package, is what I would say,
yeah,
as opposed to the special player, because Lamar Jackson is a special type of athlete.
Patrick Mahomes' specialness, if that makes sense, his specialness involves everybody else. I think Lamar Jackson is more individually spectacular because of the things he does by himself running the ball, but Patrick Mahomes' level of special gets Tyreek Hill fed. It gets Travis Kelce fed. It gets whoever else in the receiving corps. It gets Sammy Watkins fed. It gets everybody involved. So Patrick Mahomes, I think his special has a bigger impact because everybody else on the offense feels like there's a part. But, I mean, both of them are very special. So I just want to watch this guy go to work in the Super Bowl. I hope that it's an entertaining game, to say the least. I don't really care who wins. I just want it to be a great game.
I would say before the game starts right now, when you talk about importance, and you're talking about Patrick Mahomes and his specialness, he is the most important player in this game in this respect. If he went down, I don't think Kansas City has a chance of winning this game, where I think Garoppolo could go down because of the running game in San Francisco, and a guy like George Kittle, Garoppolo, the receivers, they can still win without him because they're more defense-oriented. And I think if San Francisco wins the Super Bowl, and I said this earlier, which they very well could, I think don't be surprised if the MVP of the game is on the defensive side of the football, because the four guys on the defensive line for the San Francisco 49ers are special. And I'm not going to say, I'm not going to rank this defense with some of the greatest defenses that have played in Super Bowl history. This is nowhere close to the Ravens defense of 2000 or the Bears defense of 85, but I will tell you this. That front four is as good as any defense that's played, any defensive front four that's played in the Super Bowl that I can remember. And joining us right now, a guy that played defense, started his career on the offensive side, a friend of the show for years, and one of the unsung heroes in Super Bowl history. I can call him by two names. I could either call him Mike Jones or I could call him the Tackle. Either one you'd be able to get. What is up, my brother? Out in Miami getting ready for the Super Bowl.
Hey, how you guys doing? Apologize. I went in a church and mass and I lost track of time, so hopefully God will forgive me for
Well, you were in church, so God's got to forgive you. Who did you pray for? Which team?
I prayed for both teams to be healthy and to have a great game today.
Mike, you know, it's still, and we've talked about it before, reflecting back on, you know, and I was just in an argument, ironically, last night on the radio, talking about some of the greatest offensive teams in football history, because people were trying to rank the Kansas City Chiefs among those teams. And I say they're close, but where they're lacking, and people don't realize this, it's the trenches. Their offensive line is not that great. It's not, I'm not going to say, you're in the National Football League and you're starting, you're great. But you know what I'm saying, it's not. And so when you're talking about the greatest offense of all time, like you look at that Rams team that you were on, your offensive line was special and didn't get the credit they should get for helping Kurt Warner with the success he had getting the ball down the field to Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt and the likes. And you got a guy like Marshall Faulk that also was a very good blocker in the backfield for Kurt Warner. That guy was an all-purpose running back. I don't think Kansas City has, and they definitely don't have a Marshall Faulk or a running game like the Rams had, so I don't rank them with the greatest show on turf, but I think they're pretty good. Who do you look to, Mike, to be special in this game?
Well, you know what? Well, the quarterback, you know that Patrick Mahomes is an elite talent. We got to be careful of putting him in the Hall of Fame yet just because he's just so young. But, you know, if he plays as well with the longevity, absolutely has the talent and the tools to be a Hall of Famer, but it's just so early because he's just so young. Then you look at, you know, on the at the skill positions, you know, they have guys that can really run. You know, Kelsey's going to be, I think, going to be the X factor, because I don't think anyone's played a tight end that can do as much as he can do. I mean, he does so many different things from so many different angles. And I know that they're saying that, you know, they see it in practice and that sounds good, but they don't have those two guys outside of him to simulate not only what they're doing, but the speed that they're doing it. So, I mean, I think that's going to be – I think Kelsey, if they decide to double-team Kelsey, can they get to the QB in time to get him down before he gets into his playmaker's hand? And they're going to keep him honest. They're going to do a couple of things to keep him honest. They're going to do a couple on bubble screens, things like that, just to make sure that they're not playing too fast. With great defensive linemen, the two things that slow you down are screens and draws. And they have a very good defensive front. But if they're on their heels worrying about a bubble screen or worrying about the ball getting out or worrying about a draw, that'll slow him down, and that's playing right in the Kansas City's hands.
You talk about Travis Kelce and how special he is as a tight end or whatever you want to call him. George Kittle, both of these tight ends on both sides of the ball bring something dynamic. Which of the two would you think causes more of a headache? I think you kind of hinted at Travis Kelce, but both present a bunch of dynamic problems for a defense.
And Kittle's known as a better blocker.
That's right.
Yeah, you know what? I would say the better all-around tight end is Kittle, but the problem is, again, he doesn't have those two dynamic or three dynamic wide receivers to play alongside him. And I think that can be a neutralizer for San Francisco. Now, again, San Francisco's running game is out of this world. So the Chiefs are going to have to get line up and stop the run and stop the play action pass. Those are two things they're going to have to do in this. And, you know, the same thing, Jimmy G trying to get on the beach. And, I mean, I know that's easier said than done. They've had, what, 18, 19 games this year, and they've been pretty successful. That's the reason why they're in the Super Bowl. So, you know, will the Chiefs be able to stop the run and control the play action pass? And will the 49ers be able to get to the quarterback?
Both good questions. And the 49ers, I mean, they haven't had problems getting to many quarterbacks. Like I said, that front four they've been wreaking havoc all year, and Kansas City's offensive line is probably maybe their weakest link. So, you know, something's going to have to give in that game. And the one thing, Mike, statistically, San Francisco, which is pretty amazing, is number one in the NFL against opposing teams' tight ends. And something's going to have to give there as well, because like you said, yeah, they've been number one against opposing teams' tight ends, but they haven't played anyone like Travis Kelce. So let's see when you go up against the best tight end if that statistic holds up. Mike, it's Super Bowl Sunday morning, and here you are. You've been through this. Real quick, last question for you. What is going through these players' minds right now as they get up? They're past breakfast time already. They're already scheming and probably in meetings, but what is going through your mind, and what kind of nerves are in your stomach at this point in time?
Well, right now they're ending their meetings, their morning meetings. They had breakfast, and they probably had an early morning meeting, and they'll take a break. They'll have a break, and then they will come back probably for a meeting at 2:30. Not even a meeting, a pregame meal. 2:30, you know, depends on what time the pregame meal. They do it 3.5 hours or 3 hours. And then after that, I mean, it's game time. So, I mean, the hardest part is right now, the time right now, because it really... Your nerves, you're trying to get your mind right. You're trying to take a nap, but you can't sleep. And then it's almost like you got insomnia. You're trying to go to sleep, and then right when you doze off, your buzzer go off, and it's time to go downstairs. So, I mean, I remember I was just trying to take a nap, and I was like, man, I'm tossing and turning, and finally I get to sleep. And then my buzzer goes off to get ready for a pregame meal. So this is probably the most nerve-wracking time. Once they get to the stadium, they'll get into their regular routine of doing a pregame and all that, but this extra time before the game, it can be a little nerve-wracking.
No question about it. It good time, but I got to believe that buzzer going off is probably the greatest buzzer you've ever heard in your life, knowing what lies right in front of you and the opportunity, man. What a great time. Last thing, we're going to let you go. Prediction, Mike, who's going to win this game and why?
Well, I believe Kansas City just has so much offense. I think San Francisco does a great job on defense. I just don't know, based on the scheme of what Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy does, the talent level of that team, you know, the dynamic quarterback, all those different things. I just don't know if San Francisco can handle getting into a shooting match with the Kansas City Chiefs. I know that they did it against the Saints, but I just think Kansas City, with 2 weeks to prepare and all that, that'll just be too much for him. I think it's going to be 38-27 Kansas City Chiefs.
He's going over, and it's going to be a 9-point win for the Chiefs. I think that's a hard one to argue with. He is Mike Jones, the tackle, Super Bowl 34. Mike, we really appreciate it. Also an ex-Raider. Mike, next year we got to get you out here to co-host the show with me and Caleb for the Super Bowl.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, it's going to be a good year in Las Vegas. You know, the Raiders are coming in, and no, I know we tried it once and had a problem with getting out, and so hopefully next year, you know, sooner or later, Brian, we're gonna get up there and we're gonna do the show together.
I'm looking forward to it, my friend. That is Mike Jones. We're gonna take a real quick break. We'll come back with Bob Golic, and we have Lori the Psychic coming up as well in the last 15 minutes of the show. This is Out of Line on Fox Sports Radio. We'll be right back. Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, Las Vegas. We're here in the Fox Sports Residential Bank Corp Studios, and on the line right now, former Los Angeles Raider, soon to be Las Vegas Raider, former Cleveland Brown, former New England Patriots, and currently the host for a while now of the Bob Golic Show in Cleveland, Ohio, Mondays through Friday, 3 to 7, and Saturdays, 12 to 4. But right now, he is in Las Vegas at the Westgate getting ready for the inaugural Black Hole Super Bowl, or I should say Big Game Party. I got to be careful. I'll get tossed off the air for using, it's like using a swear word. I mean, you cannot use the SB word on today. They just don't allow it. You got to pay royalties for that big time. Bob Golic, welcome to the show.
By the way, thank you for having me. And if we were smart, somebody would have grabbed on to Big Game, the Big Game, and trademarked that.
Seriously, why not?
And then at least we'd be able to say, if everybody else said the Big Game, which they do, they'd have to pay us.
I like it. Well, you know, when you say the Big Game, this Super Bowl in particular, I think hopefully will live up to that moniker, because it is, we have the makings for what really should be, you know, it's so wild. Even the sharp money in Las Vegas, it just keeps going both ways. This is so hard to predict. You've got Kansas City with this unbelievable resiliency and the ability to come back, as we've seen. And then you've got the 49ers, a defense that, not, like I said, I'm not going to call it one of the greatest defenses I've seen in Super Bowl history. That would be a shame. That would be a crime looking at the 2000 Ravens or the 1985 Bears. But the front four of this defense is as good of a front four as I've seen, Bob, and they're scary, and they can definitely wreak havoc, and they could cause Patrick Mahomes a lot of problems.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm with you. I'm staying with Kansas City as my choice, just I guess my connection to the AFC with all my teams. But obviously, I mean, if you don't even have to know that much about football to know that it could go either way. Starting off with the defense. With the 49ers, we watched back in Cleveland, the 49ers got a chance to play the Browns. And, man, I'll tell you, and since he's an Ohio guy, watching Bosa, the guy's unbelievable. I mean, he is absolutely unbelievable. He's one of those guys that doesn't stop moving. And a lot of times when you see pass rushers, especially us guys on the inside, you know, you get hit. You hit the guys, you get double teamed, you get a little push, but it's hard to keep the momentum going. And watching Bosa, man, he gets a shoulder down in and his legs keep pumping. He is such a factor. On the other side, though, you've got Mahomes who can get out, get free, and does a pretty good job at that insurance commercial. So those things all combined, like you said, if he gets out of the grasp of a Bosa and he's able to get some yardage, it'll lean their way. But the defense is just too tough for the 49ers. I mean, they are just too tough.
The defense is, and defense wins championships. That's what they always say. Before I get your prediction on the game, Bob, as we are short on time, I want to talk about the Black Hole Big Game live watch party at the Westgate. Jerry Robinson, Greg Townsend, Tim Brown, Rod Martin, and, of course, Bob Golic, all there today, amongst others, and should be a hell of a good time. $180 the door, $160. You can still get them in advance. We're giving away a couple here on the show, but all you can eat and drink until the two-minute warning of the fourth quarter. Bob, people can still get involved in this party and get down there. You're down there now. Should be a great time, right?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I get a chance to see some of these guys. And I stay in touch, but actually to get buddies together again, Jerry and Rod Martin and Timmy Brown, just great stuff. And it's going to be good. I saw those guys last night, and they were in very good moods. And so today, to get a good chance, come on down. Like I said, all you can eat, all you can drink, right here at the Westgate. And it is going to be some great time with some players that really enjoy playing football.
And it's still plenty of an opportunity to get down there. I'm going to be down there with my good friend Carlota from 92.3. We're going to try to get the Wiz down there. Yeah, we'll definitely see you down there. I'm excited about the party. Last thing, Bob, before I let you go, prediction. Who's going to win this game and why?
I'm going to go Kansas City because they are, and I hate to keep using the word that I hear a lot, resilient. There's teams out there that they can start strong and fall apart. But Kansas City, even if they start struggling a little bit, if somebody finds their number, they're pretty good at fighting their way back from it. Like I said, I have a kind of a kinship with the AFC, I'm not a homer. So I guess, but I'm going to go with Kansas City because, one, I think they're a great team. Mahomes is fun and exciting to watch. I guess the reason I'm taking Kansas City most of all is that I'm not putting any money on it. So I don't have to worry about losing because it's going to be a tough one either way.
It's going to be a fun ball game. And you mentioned Bosa. It's kind of cool. You got the Bosa brothers in the NFL. At one time, it was the Golic brothers in the NFL. He is Bob Golic.
And the Matthew brothers.
The Matthew brothers, Bruce, you did Bruce defensively. Clay, yeah. You had the Gronkowski brothers in there, too, for a minute. He is Bob Golic again, Cleveland, Ohio, Monday through Friday, 3 to 7, Saturday, 12 to 4, the Bob Golic Show in Vegas today for the Black Hole Party down at the Westgate. Check it out. Bob, we'll see you down there in a little bit, man. Thanks for joining the show.
Hey, come up, say hey.
I will for sure, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Okay, bye.
All right, we're going to move it over right now. We're not going to take any more time. Lori Schaefer is on the phone. She is a psychic extraordinaire. One of my dear friends, Carlota, who you guys know from 92.3, swears by her 80%. She says lights out, and she's been on some shows talking about the Super Bowl. Carlota, because of you, Lori, Carlota doesn't even want to watch the Super Bowl because of your prediction. She's praying that karma has switched and your mind has switched. I know what you said, and I'm actually betting on what you said today because of it. I've changed. First of all, welcome to the show, and has the karma in the atmosphere changed, or are you still going with what you went with the other day with her?
Hey, I appreciate you having me on. Actually, she's already texted me this morning telling me that my cards were wrong and that I needed to reshuffle. Hey, they're still saying 49ers.
They're still saying 40. Well, you said, here's what Lori said, her prediction, and you go ahead and I want you to elaborate on why. 49ers will win this game by more than 7 points, and the total will come in under 54 points. For those of you out there, and Carlota says when she talks to Lori, you take it to the bank. So I'm taking it to the bank, and not to the bank, but to the sports book after the show, and I'm going with you. Is that still your prediction, and why?
Well, right now, I'm going to do, just for karma's sake and for our friend Carlota, I'm going to redo it with you just to see, as you say, if karma's changed a little bit.
Okay, let's do it.
So right now, we are seeing in our little spirits here that definitely it's showing the 49ers winning. So I haven't seen anything, and I purposely don't watch, you know, TV. I don't know what the spreads are doing. So I'm going to have you ask me the under and over now.
Okay.
So you tell me which way you want to go first. I'm going to pull a couple cards for you, and let's see for everybody.
Well, should I do Kansas City first? We got about 3 minutes, so we'll do it quick. Kansas City first. Okay, so who is going to win the game, Kansas City or San Francisco? It is, I believe, Kansas City is favored by either a point or a point and a half.
Okay, the cards are saying 49ers.
49ers. Any idea by how many?
All right, I'm going to do my best.
I like this.
The cards are saying at least 3, so that would be a field goal, right?
Okay, that would be a field goal, so at least 3.
Mm-hmm.
How about at least 7? I need 7.5.
Well, I'm going to see what I can pull for you.
How about one of those prop
bets?
3. All right, so stick with the 49ers and 3. I mean, okay, so I'll look at that. What about we have the point total in the game, as I believe it, 54 points right now between the two teams.
Adamant under.
Yeah. Oh, Caleb just looked at his wallet.
It's going to be a good game. I'm excited about this because that means it's going to be a really good game.
It
is.
That's
what I'm hoping.
All right, we got to fly. Meg says we got to fly. I'm going to ask you about a prop bet. She said that Mostert was going to score the first touchdown for the 49ers. Do you feel anybody in particular is going to score the first touchdown? What about a guy like his last name is Yelder? Does that feel good to you at all?
No, the cards aren't liking that too much.
Oh, no.
And they're saying something with his knee is up.
Oh, my goodness.
Oops.
Well, I already got my money on Yelder. Well, who's going to score the first touchdown? What do you see? Any names come up?
Well, names are not my specialty, but I keep going with what Carlota and I talked about the other day, that same guy she pulled.
Wow, that guy Mostert.
Yeah,
he's the favorite to score the first touchdown. There it is. We appreciate you, Lori. Real quick before I let you go, how do people get in touch with you, and how can they use your services?
Thank you. I appreciate that. They can check out anything they need on my website. It's lorisguidingstar.com. It'll give them everything they need to know.
Okay, good deal. And I'm going to put my money where your mouth is right after the show. What about you, Caleb? Are you on it?
No, I'm not going to buy. I don't bet.
Oh, man. This is a time to bet. Lori, we appreciate you. Thanks so much for joining the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. With that, Lori Schaefer, check her out. That is, once again, lorisguidingstar.com. Listen, we're just about out of time. Real quick predictions. Mags, grab your microphone. You got to make one. Wiz, you get to go first because it's me and you for all the marbles this week. You're a half a game in front. Who you taking and why?
I'm going to go with the 49ers. I don't know. I've tossed and turned about it, but 49ers.
49ers, and I believe they're getting a point or a point and a half, so we'll put you down for that. That means I'm going Kansas City. I have to go the other way, even though my money's going to go on the 49ers. In here, I'm taking the Chiefs and giving up the points so I can win the free lunch. Caleb.
Chiefs by 14, and it's going to be a late 14. They're going to score late to
play. Wow, just like they did, just like they did in the playoffs. Chiefs. Mags?
I like Kansas City as well. I just don't think San Francisco has the horses to keep up. I feel like Pat Mahomes is the best player on the field. Tyreek Hill, second best offensive player on the field. Nick Bosa, probably the best defensive player on the field. But I just don't. I think Kansas City's defense is underrated, and I think they're going to shut down the 49ers offense.
There you go. We're out of time. This is out of line. And I'll be picking out a winner on Facebook right after the show for a pair of tickets to the Super Bowl party at the Westbrook. We're back next week. I think I'll be on vacation, but someone will be here. Wiz might be sitting in my seat next week. Who knows? Appreciate you all. I want to thank Bob Golic, Mike Jones, Lori Schaefer, Chris Magnum Chapman, Spencer the Wiz Ostrowski, and Caleb Herring. I'm Brian Feldman. This is out of line. Sundays, 8 to 9 every week here on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Bye-bye.